they won. Let me get up here and get it right now. They won was, I can't feel valuable unless I'm loved and accepted by my family and the significant people in my life. The truth is, I have God-given value. Because when I say I have God-given value, I want y'all to say it at the same time. I have God-given value because I've been planted into a new family where I'm unconditionally loved and accepted by God. Day two, with my two, I never feel valuable because this is just the way I am. I cannot change. The truth is, ready? I have God-given value. Y'all say it with me. I have God-given value because God has changed me on the inside and given me new characteristics. Day three, lie. I can't feel I have value unless I live in the right neighborhood, drive the right car, or wear the right clothes. The truth is, I have God-given value because I have new residence in God's kingdom with new clothing in Christ. Day four, my life has no value since I've done so many things wrong. My life is ruined. Truth is, I have God-given value. I've been given a new life in Christ. Now, we're going to go on to day. We're going to go on to day six, and this is just a continuation, actually. But what you think about something? If I've been given a new life, what happens to the old life? Think about it. If I've been given a new life, last week we talked about being given a new life. So if I've been given a new life, what happened to the old life? Wow, that's a good question. That's a good answer. So you're very studious, Stephen. I always can depend on you. I know that you're gonna. No, I'm being serious. I'm being serious. I'm giving you a compliment. Yeah. Did you just say I was giving a compliment? You said almost. No, I was giving him a compliment. He's very studious in the word. I know you are. I know you are. So what happened to old life? Last week we talked about self-legalism. Tonight we're going to talk about self-legalism gets us moving forward, but there's one more hurdle we're going to have to face. Not only is self-legalism because we're so hard on ourselves, because we got the new life and we're still having problems. And still having problems trying to get up and go. And so sometimes we're so hard on ourselves. We're harder on ourselves than anybody else. All right? So next one is, the next hurdle is you got to get beyond Satan's blame game. Get beyond. You want to write this down on top of this. Here it is. You're probably sitting in that little book. Get beyond Satan's blame game. Here's how he does it. The first way he blames and does his blame game is he does it in our own head. And what you know what he uses to fool us? He talks to us when we hear him in our own voice. So that's how he wins. He's talking, he's the instigator, but our voice is what we hear. Amen. If I was to say, what's that commercial about the Capital One card? What's in your... Whose voice did you hear? That guy. Okay, Samuel Jackson. All right. Some other little things you can think about. But certain guys have said certain things, and when you hear it, you hear their voice go the same way. Satan knows that we connect with voices, and we put pictures with voices. And so... And boy, voices and pictures. So he actually brings up something from your past and he speaks to you, but you hear it in your own voice. And so he gets you. So that's the first, the inner voice. Then there's the outer voice. What is he used for the outer voice? He uses other people. Think about it. Now you say, wait a minute. If Satan used a good old lovable Christian person, well, anybody here better than Peter, the Apostle Peter? In Matthew 16, when he tells him, he says, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, Satan. I mean, to Peter, but God is in heaven. He's saying, you're spiritual. You're awesome. And then within a few verses later, he says, get behind me, Satan. Talking to the same guy. Wow. It's amazing how you can be so spiritual and still blow it. It's amazing how you can be so in tune and still mess up. That's why I try to cut people slack if they don't get it right all the time, because guess who else doesn't get it right? Matter of fact, I'm looking at a whole bunch of people that don't get it right all the time. Okay? I don't know of anybody, honestly, I don't know of anybody that gets it right all the time except Jesus. And that's why Jesus came, to show us that it can be done, and number two, to help us because we can. And so we go to him. We go to the cross. Here it is. 7 days, claim your identity in Christ, stopping the old satanic blame game. 7 days to claiming your identity. I'm just going to go right into that. In order to Christians walk in victory, we need to identify themselves. Second paragraph. Identify the lies that we believe about ourselves and exchange them for the truth about who we really are in Christ. Seven lies we tell ourselves, seven truths from God's Word. For lasting change, we must cast aside the lies and rely on God's truth. Today, number six, a new freedom. Here's the lie. Remember, last week, we talked about we're doing too bad. Now, God give us new life. So now we've got new life, but we're not perfect. Wow. We still mess up. We still need God. We still need his help. The reason that the world is getting in the shape it's in is because they've pushed God so far to the side. They've taken him out of school. They've taken him out of all kinds of stuff. And so people no longer hear the word put out there to them. You can go to people now, and there's people actually, you can go to 10 people on the street in Washington, North Carolina, go to 10 people on the street. Just pick out 10. And ask them to name the four Gospels. And I guarantee you, it won't be but two or three can name them. And in the order that they are. You can go into school, and you can do the same thing. You can go and start asking about God and asking about things. People have no idea what you're talking about. And so, that was Satan's plan. Get God out of the way. So if he gets them out of the way, then they don't have a standard to follow. They don't have a standard to follow. There was the Holy Ghost's prick in our hearts. It's easier to push, nudge the Holy Ghost aside. That's why this world's getting like it is. And the same question. That's exactly. You're exactly right, Stephen. Yes, you're right. You're exactly right. I asked some guys and said, what were the epistles? And they didn't know who the epistles were. They thought the epistles were the wives of the apostles. Okay. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Alright. So here we go. My life has no value because I have failed and deserve to be punished. See, you're still holding on in this lie. Satan's still trying to grab a hold of the last lie, self-legalism. And so he's trying to hold on to the self that self-lie, that lie. Number five, about, you know, I don't deserve anything. Again, he's got to be pulling back at number five, you know, reaching back and grabbing it and trying to connect here. I failed and I deserve to be punished. Jesus Christ took your punishment on the cross. That's what grace is. Jesus taking our punishment on his back and in his hands and on his brow. That's where our punishment is. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He did this for us. That way we can have peace and we're not punished because of what Jesus did on the cross. If we could keep that in mind with ourselves and with others, it would make life a whole lot simpler. A whole lot simpler. The truth is, I have God-given value based not on my past performance, but on Christ, who lives in me and who gives me freedom from condemnation. Again, we're going back to the self-legalism based, the performance-based. My value is not based on my performance. My value is based on the cross. And Jesus thought I was to die for. Amen? Amen. So, here it is. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I believe this right here is going to be a home run for some folks. I really do. Number one, I am free from accusation. Now who is the accuser of the brethren? Revelation chapter 12 and 10 says, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, goes before God's throne day and night, accusing us, telling God how bad we are, how we've messed up, how we have not met his goal for us, and how we have missed the mark. So it's very powerful. Think about this thing. He's the accuser of the brethren. So here it says, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Again, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took our punishment. Now, that's not to say that God's not going to take you to the woodshed. Now, I'm telling you, because sometimes we do mess up, and God says, I can't get you to listen, so here we go. Go pick your switch. Get over in the corner. There's times where, but the Bible says that he does that because he loves us. Here we go. So, I'm without blemish and free from accusation. Why? Because when you look at me, I've got a cloak of white on, not because I'm anything, but that cloak of white was given to me by Jesus for what he did. All right? So, the accuser of the brother, if somebody comes to you and starts doing, look, here's how you can tell, even if it's in your voice, you can tell when Satan's doing something, because he's talking in your mind, you're looking in the mirror, you're riding down the road, whatever, and you're going, God, I sure could use your help today. God, I want to be a witness today. God, I want to really do something. I want to reach out today. And all of a sudden you hear, yeah, right. I remember what you did last week. Or I remember what you did yesterday. You remember talking to that person the way you talked to that person? Remember that thought you had about that other person? You remember this? You remember that? And all of a sudden it's just going at you. And now you got this, these accusations are not just coming at you slowly. They're coming at you like this. Bam, 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 bam. It's called the fiery darts of the wicked. So the fiery darts are coming, and all you can hear in your head is, guess what you did? Yeah, you're supposed to be so holy, why'd you lose your temper? You're supposed to be so holy, why'd you do this? You're supposed to be so godly, why did you do this? Bam, 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 bam. And that's coming. That's the accuser of the brethren trying to play the satanic blame game. And it is something we have to take and listen. Look, the shield I hold up is the shield of faith. Faith in the life, the death, crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not me. It's what Christ did. So, I'm free from blemish, free from accusation. And if it's from the outside, here's how it is on the outside. Well, you must not be much of a Christian if you did this. Or a real Christian would know how to stand up. Have anybody ever said it to you? Well, if you really had Jesus like you said you had him, you wouldn't be having this problem. If you really love God, then this wouldn't be going on right now. Guess what? That's a lie from hell. We're human. We have to have a Savior. That's why we have a Savior, because we can't do it on our own. It's impossible. All right? Here we go. So, free from accusation. He sure is, sister. He's always there. Number two, I am free from condemnation. There's a difference in accusation and condemnation. Accusation is this. Look, here's accusation. All right? Accusation. Okay? Now, where did it go? I had something in here I could use. I forgot where to then put it now. Ain't that something? Okay, he's gonna be right there with you. Okay, here you go. Here's accusation. Here's condemnation. Put your hands up. All right.
I saw this today.
Oh, what are they? On the days of our lives. I won't watch the days of our lives today. This is the days of our soul. This is God of our lives. All right, look. So here's condemnation. Condemnation is when you actually have been, I'm not pointing at you anymore. Now I'm passing judgment. Okay? And so we do that to other people too. Did you know that? We're bad about that. We walk around talking about somebody done pass judgment on me, and we pass it on people every day. We got to think about that thing sometimes. Look, John 8 and 10. Woman caught in adultery. The guys are there getting ready to throw the rock at her. Throw the rock at her, going to stone her. Said, the law says we're to stone her. My whole question is, if they caught her in the very act of adultery, what was the man? Was he one of the homeboys? They just took him and hit him? Run him to the side? You know, had they already killed him? Well, what's going on? They caught him in the very act. And is he up to one of the guys holding the stone? Matter of fact, I'm kind of thinking he might have been one of them, because Jesus is sort of writing. See, he never wrote where you could see it, because if he wrote where you could see it, there'd be people trying to pay millions of dollars to have it. You know, he's writing on the ground, and the guys look down. I'm pretty sure he was writing down, well, you had her last night, and you had her night before last, and you were, you know, And so this guy just started to say, you without sin cast the first stone. They started dropping the stones and walking away. And when they did, of course, he said, woman, where's your accusers? Here goes again. Where's your accusers? And she said, there are none. They're gone. He said, neither do I accuse you either. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. So again, John 8 and 10. God is so awesome. Grace is amazing. All right? Now, so it's therefore no condemnation to him that is in Christ Jesus. I like another version of it where it says, let's see here if I can find it, Romans 8. There is now no condemnation, no judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Or, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying, black cloud. You don't have to walk around feeling condemned all the time. Got a black cloud over your head. Number three, I am free from the law. That's how Satan will tear you up. He'll take the law and beat you to death with it. All right. See, my brothers, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might bring one another to him, or belong to one another to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. Again, that's just some awesome, awesome things. So, friends, it's something like what has taken place with you. When Christ died, he took the entire rule-dominated way of life down with him and left it in the tomb, leaving you free to marry a resurrected life and bear offspring of faith for God. So, again, the law itself, if the law could have done it, Jesus wouldn't have done it. Jesus came and said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. When he fulfilled the law, he also introduced the law of grace. So then there's, I'm free from sin. Does that mean you'll never sin again? No. In the same way, commit yourselves, count yourselves dead to sin. That's an accounting term. Look at all the stuff that's going on. Put it all together. Well, I was a sinner, but I accepted Jesus Christ. I was in the minus column. I accepted Jesus. Now I'm in the plus column. Now I'm saved. So you can add it. When you add it all together, as long as you put Jesus in there, it's kind of like when you're playing cards and you have that deuce as the wild card. And so no matter what you got, if you got that deuce is the wild card. It can be anything. Well, Jesus is like that. Jesus is like that wild card. You get him, and it'll trump everything. It'll trump everything. Yeah, amen. Which I have to say, last night, how many watched the debate last night? You know, it was tilted toward Hillary. We know it was going to be that way because he kept fact checking Trump. He never fact checked her. He kept interrupting Trump. He never interrupted her. But all at the same time, they fact checked her and found out she was saying some miscommunicate at the same time. But I did like one thing she said, although she never really gave an answer. She gave probably the closest thing to some kind of responsibility for those emails. She said, I'm wrong, I take responsibility. Well, okay, but it's more than just wrong. You got national secrets. Yeah, you know, you could cause, General Petraeus didn't do anything like that, and y'all blackballed him, and now you got, 50,000 emails out there, and nobody's going to say anything about it. And when your people come in, you're going to take them, and they're going to plead the fifth, and you're going to give them immunity. Yeah, right. And I was born last night. Okay. So, but Counterfeit's dead to sin. Now, that word dead means to be destitute without life. So, sin's still there. It's going to be there until this body is gone because we have a corruptible body. The Bible says after we die, and especially at the rapture, that the corruptible is gone and the incorruptible takes over. So as long as we have to deal here, and even the last enemy, of course, is death. And death always deals with sin. So you got to remember, we're still going to have to fight the good fight all the way through, but where our old man is rendered helpless if we'll just keep reaching toward God. And then, I'm free from God's wrath. Now, you think it's kind of rough around here when you see a hurricane, or kind of rough around here when you see some rough stuff going on. It's nothing compared to God's wrath. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, God's wrath's going to be, whoop. But you know what? I am so glad. You know, we think it's rough around here now. Can you imagine? See how people are acting now, when Sister Kitty worked at Walmart, there was people there that would bend over backwards to help. The workers would bend over backwards to help you. There was like, now you go to check out, and the person's not even looking in your face, and they're counting out the money. They don't even count the money out to you. Sometimes they even drop it because they're not even looking at you. You know, or they're talking to the person behind them, or they're just looking down at there and just dropping in your hands, or you go to ask somebody for help, and they look at you like you have really just done them a big injustice. And that's the way it is everywhere. And that's why when you run into somebody that's like Sister Kitty was, it just brightens my day. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I even one day I was at Lowe's, and I was in a hurry, a big hurry. I went to the service desk just to ask where something was. And there was four people working at the service desk. And all four people were helping one person. And there was people all around the service desk. And they never looked at any of us. I'd been there for about 5 minutes. They never even looked at me. She finally come back over my way. And finally come back way. And I said, are y'all planning on helping any the rest of us? Yeah, I did. No, look. I've been a manager. And a corrective action manager. I've dealt with all those people that found me. I dealt with them all the time. And so I dealt with other people. So she said, well, we're over here trying to help that person. And the person, I saw the problem. The problem was that, what's the date on this receipt? And everybody's going, I don't know. Take them 5 minutes to figure out the date on the receipt. And so, And she said, and I said, well, you know what would really be helpful? She said, why? What? And I said, if you let everybody around here know that you have noticed and acknowledge them, and say, I'll be with you again. That's all you got to do. And she went, oh. I said, no. No. I just asked her. I just said, look. That's part of basic customer service. And if you're up at this front desk, you're supposed to be bringing customer service to everybody. And I said, people don't like me sitting around here like this. And I said, I'm pretty sure your manager wouldn't want this all going on. And she said, okay, and walked off. Yeah, but I'm saying that the point I was trying to make is they're not even taught. It's not even taught anymore. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. But getting back here, I'm free for God's wrath. Now, since we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? When the biggest wrath you think is rough now, once the rapture trumpet sounds, I'm here to tell you something. Once the rapture trumpet sounds, all hell is literally going to break loose. It's going to break loose. It's going to be bad. It's going to be so bad. Matter of fact, the Sunday, I can predict a Sunday when every church in this land is going to be full of people. It's going to be packing. They're going to be trying. They're going to bust the door down to get in. And that's the Sunday after the rapture. You're going to want to come in to find out what's going on. What I'm trying to say is it's so bad. Things are going to be so bad when the four horsemen come down, and it's going to be something. But you know what? We're not worried about it. You know why? We're not going to be here. We ain't going to be here. Isn't that cool? So, again. All right, so, I'm free from accusation. Look, free from accusation. I'm free from condemnation, sentence being passed out on me. I'm free from the law that's used to put the sentence on me. I'm free from sin that drives the law. And I'm free from God's wrath, which is a problem that's going to come on you because of all of this. None of that. Because we are born again. Stop Satan's blame game. Stop the blame game. And if you do, guess what? There's no telling what you can wind up doing for God. It'll be an amazing stuff that we can do for God. All we got to do is try to see ourselves as God sees us. Amen? Any questions? Anything pressing? All you got to do is speak up now. Speak up now, forever hold your peace. I did look at that wedding Saturday. I said, speak now, forever hold your peace. The bride literally turned around her whole body. I've seen the bride look over her shoulder before. She turned her whole body and turned around and said, anybody got any objections? She turned her body and she looked, and everybody just busted out laughing. This turned her back around. I thought it was the coolest thing. She had me laughing. I was just a rolling. It was funny. Yeah. Okay, so now. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So now, anybody got any questions, any comments? It'd have been bad. It'd have been bad. What you do is you thank God that He sent you there. That's the cool thing. That's right.